It's turned into a scene.
Everyone in the gym has one, I'm like.
Welcome everybody to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting tonight.
First one I own.
To start out, anyone who has a comment, if you'll please come up and state your name and whatever it is you want to say, welcome to come. Do we have anyone?
I would like to.
Okay.
Are you commenting as a resident or as a planning commission member?
I have my vote.
So.
Okay, that means you can talk later too then.
For the record, I'm Mark McAllister. I've been nominated, I guess, to be reinstated as a planning commission council member or planning commission member. Since I submitted my letter back in November or October to act to be put in this position, I've had a little bit of life changing. I have bought property in another county and do intend to leave Heber and Heber Valley in a year to 18 months. And I don't feel that it would be fair to not disclose that before I'm put on as a planning member person. I would like to just be in the clear with that. I would like to be involved as long as I'm here. I bought property in just after Christmas, just before the first of the year, and I do intend on moving to a different lifestyle. That's what I would like to say before, and if anybody wants to have some discussion or postpone my swearing in at this point, I hate to drop a bombshell, but
You said different lifestyle, I wonder if you're going to California.
It's kind of me.
Not that different.
Okay. You still need to be sworn in.
You can just stay right there if you will. Read that, fill in your name, raise your right hand, and I'll go ahead and read the oath.
I, Mark McAllister, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you. If you'll sign, fill in your name and then sign the line below it as well.
Sure.
Okay, so item three, we have a ag building permit for Tarchenko's. Should be in your packet. Eric, you or Ryan, I'm not sure who is the best person to bring.
Well, we're not looking for a motion today. This is on your radar because it does appear to be in the floodplain. So there'll be other restrictions that you need to be aware of when it comes before you. They haven't submitted all the information that we need yet. So this is, it's in progress.
Okay.
Do we know how much of that property is in the floodplain?
Yes. Well, we have the maps.
Yeah, there's a map in the packet.
Most of it.
So this is the one they talked about in the council meeting a year or two ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
There wasn't a permit then, but they said submitted a permit and added an electrical to it. So we're working through getting all the requirements for that permit. And then it will come before you for a motion when all that requirement's in. Is that correct, Ryan?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
I did get a packet of information from the state floodplain coordinator yesterday or this morning to help us with exactly what we need to do and make sure that we dot all our I's and cross our T's with this one.
Okay.
No, I haven't read it all.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Anybody have any more questions on this one? Just say, look at your packet and kind of get familiar with what's going on there, because it will be coming up in another meeting most likely.
It will be.
Okay, the next one is Richter's permit for basement remodel. There were a few issues with that one, so Eric, would you want to speak to that one?
So they've turned in, you should have a copy of the staff report on that in your packet. Haven't found it yet, but they've turned in some blueprints that were backdated from, I believe, 2004. And so we are, of course, behind on the International Building Code. They'll have to update those blueprints before we'll be able to go off and make sure that that it meets the current code. And so we've asked for that to be updated. Same thing. This usually would be handled with staff on a remodel, but right. But as long as it's in progress, we're bringing that to the commission. Anytime we have any question at all, we'll be bringing that before the commission for you to answer those questions.
Okay. Yeah, that is in the packet, so.
There's also a conditional use on that property there that mm-hmm. needs to be taken into consideration also.
I don't have any of the other details. Just this
okay. I do not, and we actually don't need plans.
Okay.
It's planning. I mean, we care about building height, where it is on the plot.
That's all done.
They have everything done, but.
And what's the conditional use?
The conditional use is a therapeutic animal interaction. So they did use some of their. Some of the property was used for parking and different things, so I don't know how, if it will affect that conditional use. And so those are questions we still need to ask the applicant if that's...
That's been granted already, the
correct.
Conditional use.
The conditional right. use has, and then so we need to know if this modifies that. If it does, then we'll have to go back through the public hearing process and reissue that conditional use.
Okay. Any other questions on this one? Okay, we'll move to item 5, which is Luke Kohler, who had some questions about subdivision. So Luke, would you like to come up and show us what you're thinking?
Yes, sir. So before I get started here, I'll take one of those and pass it down so I can kind of show you what we're talking about here. While you're passing those out, I'll just kind of introduce myself, Luke Kohler. I was born and raised here in Daniels at the corner of 3000 South and Daniels Road. I've enjoyed growing up in this valley. I now have 3 kids and currently rent a house in Midway. So, in this map here, you'll see some property that my grandparents own. It's located at 215 Little Sweden Road. Their names are Lynn and Linda Luke. They are willing to part ways with 1.55 acres pending an official survey. On the first page, you'll see the subject property of 2.97 acres. That's currently their property. So if you turn to page 2, you'll see the proposal of roughly 1.55 acres pending an official survey. This will leave my grandpa land with approximately 1.42 acres. So if you'll turn to the next page, the approximate footage would be approximately 177 feet of frontage running west to east towards Steve and Betty Mayer's property. When you hit that corner and turn north, the approximate footage of the eastern border would be 370 feet. Turning back west at that corner would run approximately 177 feet towards what would be the new boundary of my grandfather's property line, which at that point would turn south and run approximately 394 feet back to Little Sweden Road and would represent the western border of the proposed 1.55 acres, as well as the new eastern border of my grandpa's 1.42 acres. And again, this is all pending an official survey, but I taped it and I think it's going to be pretty accurate. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm sure some of you have questions, so.
Well, are you planning on building on it? On the 1.55?
So.
What's the purpose?
My overall intentions of purchasing this ground for my grandfather and grandmother is to be able to provide an opportunity for my kids to grow up in this valley and enjoy the things which I've been blessed with over the past 30 years, as well as give my grandparents an opportunity to live out the rest of their lives enjoying whatever they want to do. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. Yeah, I have nothing to hide. My intentions are to eventually in the future build a single family dwelling for my wife and I to raise our children in, as well as possibly building a barn and arena for my daughter to continue her wanting to become a rodeo star. So, yeah, if nothing else, I would prefer that I be allowed to create the proposed 1.55 acres, raise a crop of hay, and pasture my horses on. So, that's my intentions.
Okay.
I just have a couple of logistical questions. So, I have a few horses, and I've got about 2.5 acres. I can't keep my horses there very easily,
mm-hmm.
and at least for very long. And when you take a house and a barn and an arena,
yep.
and all of the required setbacks from a home to a barn or to whatever, have you plotted that out in that little proposal to just see if your plan's even feasible?
I haven't yet. No.
I'm just saying.
I have not yet.
Logistically, you got to have a barrier between the horse crap and your bedroom.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
And so I would look at that long-term plan and make sure it's even feasible to accomplish what you want.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else have questions?
So my question is your grandparents?
Yes.
Luke's, they have 2.97 acres, correct?
They do.
And
yep.
So you're wanting to divide that
yep.
into the two pictures on page 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that puts the small 2.97 acres down to the 1.42 and the 1.55.
Yep.
And would they stay on the 1.42?
They would.
I mean, that's
their house and their house and their shop and where they resided for the past 55-60 years has been there.
Half.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Eric, as the planner, do you have any comments?
I don't have that plan in front of me, but
okay.
I think that what we're looking at is this is in the RA5 zone.
Right.
Yep. So you'd be splitting a piece of property that's already non-conforming into a smaller and creating an illegal lot.
Yeah, that was my question. Is there some precedent on this property, because that's a fairly sizable, to what the code is already, or the zoning
owners. Six other ones on the same road, on the same side of the street, so just under your precedence, I would say.
Maybe
five others instead of six.
Well,
there's actually seven or eight that are sizably smaller than what
I
mean,
not precedence though, because that happened when the county was in charge.
Prior to.
And actually before the county adopted the current zoning, because the town just adopted the county zoning. So it's changed over the years. But under current zoning, there's no way that we can do it. At least as far as I can see.
Is there any way to get it approved as just agricultural property and bought that way?
I
don't think you can even split it, can you?
You can't, as far as I know.
There's code about size of subdivision and things can't be split that small.
Okay.
So I think the only thing you can do is go to the city council and ask for a zoning change, I guess. Mayor, is that how it works? Or they come here first and ask for a change, and we say no, and then send it to you? I don't know.
Then we go to the Beals.
Yeah, level. But we can't authorize something that's against the zoning, so.
This is the first step, so I'm taking step one.
But as far as planning goes, we have to follow what the code is.
Absolutely, yep. About it.
Unless you have anything else, but thank you for bringing this in and explaining it.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, item number six, Jeremy Keel.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jeremy Keel. Recently, I bought my neighbor's property, Blaine Webster. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that piece. Yeah. It's 1385 Little Sweden Road. And it's about a little under 9 acres, and there's two parcels. And the back piece is like 6.8 roughly, the parcels in front of me. But I'm looking to get an approved building lot for out back there. And I just don't know what we need to do to get that approved. Most of the front end is owned by me already.
What's the address again, Jeremy?
1385.
1385?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can you give us those numbers again?
The acres?
Yeah.
So it's just a little under 9 acres total. There's two parcels. The one where I'm looking for a building lot is roughly 6.8.
And if I remember, that one's back in?
Yeah.
Behind your other two parcels?
Between my house and Blaine's existing house.
Are they already platted as separate lots? Or
yes.
Is it one Blaine Webster's lot and we're trying to subdivide Blaine's to?
No, it's already existing, two parcels.
So Blaine's land is a couple acres?
Yeah, the one is a little over two.
Give or take. Okay.
You're saying that's what he has left after you bought this piece?
I bought it all.
Okay.
Trying to get another.
So you own the three parcels, the two, the smaller ones with houses on it, and then the one behind?
Yes.
Is the larger one? Okay. Any other questions?
I'd just love to see a plat.
A plat map would be really handy.
Sure.
Yeah, and what I would suggest is that you go to the planner and our engineer to understand what the requirements are as far as access and frontage, and then, you know, figure out what it is.
Okay. I was told to start here, so step one. So.
So if you would do that, they can help you. You know, you're welcome to look at the town code that's online and
okay,
see.
Perfect.
I'm pretty sure that's in the RA5 zone. And you can get an idea of what it is to start with and kind of figure out what it is that you want to do and then go to them to see if it's going to work.
Okay.
Is it, Ryan, you're the engineer, right?
Correct.
So for a lot like that, what's required as far as fire access? Because it sounds like this is going to turn into some form of a flag lot, which I think the county said we don't do flag lots. Back 100 years ago, I heard that somewhere.
Our code doesn't permit them, but that's correct. I think I have a lot more questions before I can generate very many answers.
Yes, right.
There's a lot to it, but yes, access, frontage, septic, how the parcels and when those parcels were divided and how they came to be are a few questions before I think I could answer any of your questions. Eric, did I leave anything out?
Is that something me and you sit down and like in your office go over?
Okay. Happy to help.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's what between the two.
Yep. Those are the requirements that we look at.
Okay.
Okay. I have one more item on here for you, if you guys are good there. Mm-hmm. 2530 South Daniels Road. sure y'all are familiar with that. Just want to know what I need to do to actually access and use the property. The front is residential, back piece is industrial. Any thoughts?
What's the sizing again on the residential versus the industrial?
I believe the residential's like half acre.
And then is there 10 acres behind?
It's four, a little like 4.3 or something like that.
Okay. Like in the industrial?
In the industrial.
Okay.
And I just don't know if we could go like get a conditional use if we're willing to pay dust control, noise control, just so we can use it. Going about it the right way, you know.
Good deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure. At least I don't have an answer for that. That's one of those where the county left us with parcels in two different zones, which is normally not legal. So that's not to say that it's not a legal parcel, but I'm just saying that gives us some issues that we have to deal with. So once again, I think I would take that to the planner and the engineer to start with, and then, you know, if it needs to come back here, it can come back. Too good with that? Brian, Eric? Okay.
You own both pieces?
I do.
Okay. So, I mean, the whole thing?
Yeah. Okay. It's one piece and two zones.
Got it. Well said. One piece and two zones. There you go.
Okay. Is that the one with the house that was just remodeled on the front?
Yes.
That's the brown house?
Yes.
Anything else?
No, I think we're good. Thank you.
Okay, the next one we have is a building permit extension for Steiner's. And that's where, yeah, and they've had trouble getting a contractor, so it's been a year. We allow them to extend that for a year.
You have that letter in your packet? I'm not seeing it in my packet.
I don't know if I have it.
It's an email for now.
I have it also in the mail for it.
That?
Yeah, the email?
Yeah.
Okay, that's.
They have that one. You can have this if you need.
That's okay, I just copied.
It's actually here.
Okay.
It's at the bottom of the page on the note.
Perfect.
Email you from TL.
Perfect, I just copied that email, so that's all I had was just a copy.
So
this was, if I remember right, an addition that we approved. How long ago?
A year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So I don't see any issues, or I'm not aware of any issues. Do we have any issues, Ryan or Eric?
No.
Okay.
Do we need to vote on it?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd make a motion. We approve the extension.
Okay.
I'll second it.
And just give Lynn a minute to write.
Thank you.
Minutes aren't complete.
Okay, vote.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Can we amend the motion to have the timetable on the motion so it appears in the minutes how long it's extended?
How long are they asking for? A year?
1 year.
Another year?
The code gives that up to a year. So.
They're asking for a year.
So I'd make a motion that we extend their permit for 1 year. That's what it's asking here.
Okay, so you're amending your motion to do that?
The 1 year is stated in their request.
Okay.
My second stance.
Okay.
Sorry.
Call for a vote. Pam?
Pam, aye.
TJ, aye.
Mark, aye.
Byron, aye. I'm letting you catch up. Eric, aye.
This is the easy part.
Okay. So that permit extension's approved. Okay. Yeah. We still have to get emails and stuff set up, so.
Yes, your minutes.
But she's got the ones from November that we still.
I've got a set of those, Eric. I did send them to you yesterday.
You did?
I did.
Are they on here? I just didn't see them.
I don't know.
Yes. Yes.
The ones from January 19th was the joint meeting. The town council approved them at their meeting, and you need to approve them because part of the meeting was conducted under the planning.
Joint town council and.
Yes.
Oh, that's the agenda.
These are the minutes.
I didn't see them.
Really? Did I give you the agenda instead of the minutes?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Sorry.
Town council and planning.
There wasn't the new members.
Just the agenda. I didn't see those.
The commission had never seen.
Right, right, and so.
And that's what we asked for.
Right, and so I went back through and listened to recordings and updated the minutes.
Thanks for listening before I listened for a couple minutes. That was all contained with all the background.
It was.
I listened to the whole meeting.
Just a suggestion, do you mind speaking up so that the recorder can?
No.
So it can pick up so that when we post it online, we can hear what you're saying?
It's that grandma thing you talked about.
I think he was saying the recording was not very good, so.
Sometimes it's not very good.
We're doing it again. Okay, we'll give Mark and Eric a chance to look through those and then.
Did everyone see the November 17th minutes?
They're just looking at them right now.
They're just looking at them, so, okay. I didn't see the January 19th ones.
Okay. Well, if I can approve these if I was here or not, I'll just read them. Would the budget vote even count if I wasn't here?
You can go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of you that wasn't here.
That's what I was saying here, thank you. Just go ahead and vote. Okay. Can I get a motion on the 17th minutes?
I'd make a motion that we approve the November 17th minutes as they're.
Any discussion? Okay, call for a vote.
Is there a second?
Oh, we need a second, excuse me, thank you.
TJ will second that.
Okay. Now is there any discussion? Okay, call for a vote. Pam?
Pam, aye.
TJ, aye.
Mark, aye.
Byron, aye. Eric, aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, now we have the minutes from the January 19th joint meeting. Has everyone had a chance to see those? And that's not.
I got the council, but not the planning commission.
They're combined.
Go to the middle of page 4. I think that's where it kind of segues into the planning commission.
And
I'll try and do a better job of getting them out to everyone next month. Hopefully we have our emails set up. Pam, Mark, there, you said you dug on the computer.
Yep, I did.
Okay, entertain a motion on the January 19th minutes.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call for vote.
Pam, aye.
TJ, aye.
Mark, aye.
Aaron, aye. Eric, aye.
Okay, motion passes. So the next items are just kind of to get things going for the year. The first one is disaster mitigation plan. We have some information attached. They made copies for us. It's at the back of your packet.
Two, if you need one.
And so this is a very large document. We only copied those pages that are relevant to Daniel. You can go online and read the entire document if you'd like to. It's more fun than listening to the tapes. So anyway, the assignment would be to get familiar with that, and we need to support the council in getting this updated. So if you can think of things that need to be updated, I'll bring them back to the next meeting. We'll discuss this again and pass any of that information on to the council.
So we're actually past the update stage. This
okay.
is, we are up to the point where you need to make a motion as a planning commission on this plan, and then it will go before the council for their vote. Again, the document is 733 pages. It's a plan. We have that electronic format if anybody wants to go through the whole thing. What this is just what pertains to Daniel. And so we have held a couple of meetings, and we identified some things that were changed on this, mainly some of the irrigation ponds that we have that retain water, and what would happen if failure occurred in those situations, and what the FEMA would cover. If it's not on your plan, it's not eligible for FEMA. So we try and list the things that are there. And we've used FEMA before. We replaced some bridges with it. But this needs to be adopted by March. April is the latest, I think, is what Sean said. So we're looking for a recommendation. If you're not ready tonight to do that, I mean, you can go over that and do it in a month if you want. But we're to that point where the changes are incorporated in this document that's in your hand.
Okay, if we can, since we are on that, is it okay if we were to go through that and just email those to the council, anything that we see that was missed at this point?
Yeah, and they'll have the same chance to look at that too.
Right, and then we pass that in the next meeting if that's still going to make it so we can meet the schedule.
So who's gone through that 700 and however many pages?
A few of us that have
12 page or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
A few of us that have no life. So it goes all the way. It does all the counties, and so the Salt Lake's included in there. So it peels off all of this. This is what relates to Daniel. Heber City is right, I believe, behind that. I think we got actually the Heber City page on the back, mm-hmm. and then it just moves through each town, and they update their portion of it. But the overall document is what is submitted to FEMA. So at this stage right now, it has been submitted for final, and if they have any changes, it'll come back with those minor changes. But as far as we're concerned, ours expires in, I believe, April, the current plan. Okay.
So the question is, do we still have an opportunity to change it or add things to it?
All the time. This is an ongoing thing. So
okay.
What we're looking at is this plan that they have, we'll adopt it. This is done every 5 years. So this will come around just like the general plan. It's always updated. If you remember in our last time, we identified the bridge on Big Hollow Road. Mm-hmm. And so we took that, and the county says, hey, we own that. Okay, fix it. We like that. We like that the county owns that. So that got us out of item on our report, because the county has claimed that that's on their property. So things like that, that we collaborated with the county and other municipalities. Sean and me can come up, and we met all of the, everybody that could, met in a couple of meetings.
Okay. So what does the commission feel on this one? I would suggest that we take some time to look at it, so that we can really look at it.
So do you have that? Lynn, do you have the whole document?
Electronically, yes, and I sent it actually to the commissioners this morning, to your town emails, which I don't know if you have access to all of that yet.
I don't have mine yet, or don't even know what it is.
So if you'll give Lynn your personal one, you can send it to that, right?
Yeah.
The one you can get to, she'll send you that document if you want to.
That's fine.
And that, I mean, instead of printing off all those pages, it was just like, oh man, that's a big document, so. Syracuse, I mean, there's a lot of things in there for Syracuse, but it really doesn't apply to us. So that's why it's not included in what we provided for your packet.
But it's a little bit helpful, because you can see the kinds of things the other cities have identified and say, oh, we missed that, or.
Yeah, and it won't surprise me if we're looking at this before 5 years, because, well, I'll tell you in a minute.
So do we need a motion to just, I don't want to say table it, but table it till, so we have time to look at it, and then we can go in our emails and say yes or no?
Who's the watchdog for this stuff?
What do you mean?
So who in our town drives around and says, well, there's vegetation by this bridge, or here's a rotten tree on the back of?
So that's brought to the council, and we identify.
But who brings it to the council, though? That's my question.
We just get together. Everybody that comes to that meeting is able to put in for things that they think that might be a hazard that would be covered in FEMA.
So this is already a result of a meeting that happened
last year. Yeah, they've been working on this for, well, probably been a year and a half. I think it was in April, actually, when we met. April of last year is when we met. So it went through the council. We identified those things. We had some things for Central Utah Water on there. It turns out that we can't attach anything like the canals. They're federal, and so we're not allowed to even include those in our mitigation plan, because they have it under their mitigation plan. And we had questions with that. Well, if that breaks, they have mitigation, but once it gets to the town, then what? And they couldn't answer that question, because their mitigation is on their thing, but we're not allowed to include that in our plan. One of the restrictions FEMA puts on there.
Is anybody on the commission part of that meeting? Some of you that have been over here for a while? That's what I'm saying. I don't know where this comes from, what meeting that was, or.
Wasn't in one of these meetings.
It come before the council.
Yeah.
The town council.
Yeah.
You keep asking, you're going to be that guy.
You'll certainly be notified of that meeting when it comes around. I mean, you'll be involved in all that. You'll have the opportunity to put in exactly what you think needs to be in that plan.
So Eric, is this updated yearly? Is that kind of what that is?
It's 5 years.
Every 5 years.
I wasn't going to tell them, but right now the state of Utah has included the legislature meeting right now, so this is a busy time of year. But they've included some things to be in this mitigation plan that may make us look at it within the next 2 years, because it will become law for water to be part of our mitigation plan. And that's drinking water and irrigation, and all that will be included if it passes the legislature, which is through committee already. It will be included in this plan, which will cause us all to update. They'll kick up funds to do that, but Mountain Land Association, the government, will be the ones that spearhead that, because that's how that money is spent from the legislature. They give us that help to do it, because we don't have staff to do this kind of stuff. It costs a lot of money. So that's how the appropriations are distributed. It's through Mountain Land Association of Government, and they're the ones that draft this with our input.
So is that issue water or lack of water?
I think that's where they're headed. Like everything, it's headed to lack of water. There's a whole bunch of, I'll talk about some of those.
Okay.
But it's pretty deep this year on water issues.
So if we have questions or comments about this, who should we send them to?
Send them right over. I'll get them right to Shauna. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, send them right over.
Okay.
And certainly make sure the council's aware of those too. Well, we'll do that in our recommendation to council probably here.
Okay.
Those questions that you have on them.
I have a question that you might be able to answer, Eric. There's some abbreviations for some kind of a water part. It's a CUWCD. What does that abbreviate?
Central Utah Water Conservation District.
Okay. I'm just used to leaving
you just keep
the
asking,
C out.
You like, I like those easy questions.
I didn't see
you
that.
You hit me with those.
If you didn't know that one, Eric, I was going to be concerned.
Yeah. I wasn't meaning that. Really,
yeah.
It's funny the way I ask you.
Perfect. The other questions go to Ryan.
I figured Ryan could answer that one too.
He probably could have.
He had his head down.
Chicken's course.
So I don't know that we need to take any action on that tonight, but we will in the next meeting.
So you'll probably want to make a motion to continue that if you want to hear it in your next meeting for a recommendation. That will push it to the agenda in your next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make that motion to push this to our next meeting and on the agenda then.
Good talking to you, man.
Okay.
Daniel.
Do we have a second?
I don't have a second.
Okay, any discussion on the motion?
Schneider's billboard.
Right, call for the vote.
Pam, aye.
TJ, aye.
Mark, aye.
Byron, aye. Eric, aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, the next item is just a discussion because there's some things that we need to look at for this year. And I got a few things from Ryan, and I did not make a copy for everybody, but one thing we know is coming is a code update for floodplain ordinance, so we need to look at that. There's some code discrepancies for frontage and road standards, section 8.27. Possibly needs some updates. And we've got water requirements for commercial properties, but we have our code conflicting with state code. We also have a bunch of changes in code that have been made over the years that are not incorporated in the document. And that's a fun project for someone to take on, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. We also have a annexation boundary where we say we're interested in annexing this, and we need to review that and update it sometime during the year. Another issue that's been coming up is management of traffic within the town. Water again. Gonna be some things coming up with supplying water to areas outside of our boundaries, disappointing ones, to give some input into that. We want to say what will happen if, you know, do we provide water to an area that's 5 houses per acre, which is right next to our RA5, and encourage that development? You know, what input do we want to have on that? And then also, we've done that. I had the FEMA mapping on there, but that's really what we just talked about. So anyway, as I listed those off, anyone have any interest or energy on any of those items? Because what I'd like to do is get someone to take each one of these and just kind of take a look at it and see what.
And are these all presently in our code, Gary?
Some of the things that are in our code maybe need some updating, just for us to try and, as a planning commission, try and get ahead of things a little bit, make it less confusing for the people in the town.
We prioritize those.
We can definitely do that. It would have been better if I had given you a list, but I'm going to pass that down again.
I think one of the priorities of anything in this whole valley is water. And I heard through the grapevine there's a request to supply water outside of the township during the water boundary. And I would suggest we make that be, if not the top, one of the top priorities.
To talk about and vote whether we want to do that. Yeah, but I think we need to do that from a planning perspective and say, what is that going to do to our town? Because there are also other issues with the water that, you know, may make it good or bad, but I think that planning should give their input.
Right. But I think that ought to be a top priority on our agenda to address that, because that's our most precious commodity we've got out here.
Okay. Any other input on that?
I would like to put that toward some of the top. It sounds to me like we're trying to prioritize where we want to start. So maybe we ought to pass that along and let everybody else have another look at that. Decide some of these we'd like to move on
to us.
Prioritize.
Yeah, I can do that.
Think about it. I can look at what that code is.
So I have a question on when we're emailing things back and forth based on the public meeting rules, right? So we send an email out that has this and say, where do we want to start? Is that considered breach of a public meeting? No. I mean, where does that line get drawn? I'm new to this.
You're not making a decision. I mean, you have questions, you know, you're sending this out to everybody.
But it is public enough, if someone made a grandma request, they could look at all those emails if they wanted to.
So it would be clean.
That's why we tried to keep those to the town email account. We keep it separate from
your own personal. Yeah, so you can't send that to my personal one and have it.
But like,
because then they can request all your personal.
In March, Charleston is scheduled to make a presentation to the town council. So that would be a good thing for us to invite the council, to invite the planning commission members that want to listen to that presentation, to that meeting, and get some background.
They're making a presentation on water?
Their request.
As a proposal.
A proposal.
They're coming with a proposal to the council?
Well, I don't know exactly what the extent of their information is going to be.
Or are they coming with a request for a decision?
Brian, why don't you address that for us?
My understanding is that the presentation will largely be kind of a history of what's been discussed over the last few years, and then a request to move towards a decision. I don't think they're asking for a decision in March. They're, I think, largely informing and asking us to consider their proposal, or the proposal that's been worked on for a couple of years at this point. So that, no, I haven't heard from anybody that they're asking or demanding for a decision. It's a cooperative, they want to work together. I don't think anyone's going to ask for, and I would be very surprised if anyone wanted to make a decision after one meeting.
They called and asked if we'd put them on the agenda. We told them we'd put them on the agenda in March, and that will initiate the conversation and kind of get all of us aware of what's being asked or what's being looked at. So,
okay. Well, if that's going to happen that soon, I would think that should be the first one on the list. And so I guess, you know, is there any one of you that would like to take the lead on that one? I mean, we can all help. and I guess I would, you know, do it from a planning perspective. I mean, you're welcome to go to the council meeting and also make comments from a personal perspective, but I think we need to do it from a planning perspective. And, you know, how does this affect the town? How could it affect the town, either positively or negatively, so.
Well, but we don't know what this is, right?
Well, just say, to start with, you're saying providing water for entities outside of the town. But then we go to the council meeting and find out what this is.
But we've got to look at our current water system and say our current water system can supply this many hookups with this type of a flow, and our master plan on the R5 zoning will allow, or there's this many potential hookups. We've already got a school on it, we've got a church on it, we've got all of these things that are currently drawing off of our system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this much open availability to our system, but our zoning already, you know, if Scott Kohler decides that he wants to build a house on this conforming lot, right, we've donated water to some other municipal group, and now I can't supply him the water unless I shut off somebody else's sprinkler to get it.
And then there's there could be the flip side of that, which, I mean, it gets very complicated to talk about water stuff, but there could be exactly that plan that you say, okay, the town of Daniel has, and I'm making up numbers here, maybe Eric knows these better, it's like you guys have 1,000 acre feet of water that you have in your well, etc. And with all your zoning and all your calculations and everything that we can figure out, you guys will never use more than 800 acre feet. You don't show beneficial use to that. You don't own the water. The water is owned by the people, and they say, we can take that water and provide that extra 200 acre feet to whomever, the town of Charleston, somebody else that's requesting for it. You can't use water that you're not showing beneficial use for. So I think it's interesting because it's tricky, and it's like, ironically, could those people be saving our water right by actually using it?
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Robin.
What Joe says is correct.
State your name.
Oh, excuse me, Robin Pearson. What Joe says is correct in relationship to individual users and corporate users of water. Cities and towns are exempt from that. The state of Utah cannot take water away from cities and towns. And they even can purchase water for the future, speculate on that, but they can't, they're exempt from the adjudication process that the state of Utah goes through, that they don't adjudicate city water. And for example, the town of Heber City's probably got 3 times the amount of water that they use every day, but they still can keep that. And the logic is, in anticipation of growth, in anticipation of planning, they can broker or harbor that water to protect it. And it's the same thing with this.
50 council. Years from now, we may switch from an R5 to an R1, and therefore we've got to have more water.
Who can foresee all of them?
And so I don't really want to say anything else because I'm not an expert on this, but I can tell you, and so maybe Ryan even knows this, but this is years ago. I was in a meeting out in Roosevelt trying to get some approval, and there was something ahead. And Roosevelt City had purchased some farms with some big, deep, high-producing wells, and they shut the pumps off. Then they went and turned back on, and the state said, sorry.
And the state took that to court, and Roosevelt won.
Oh, good.
And so that is...
That's the case law.
That set the precedent that basically says that towns and cities now can, in anticipation of their being able to provide and purvey water to future users, they can go out and purchase water, but everybody else has to show beneficial use.
Okay.
You can't hoard water in the likelihood that someday down the road you're going to use it. Within 7 years, if you haven't shown beneficial use, basically you're right, it reverts back to the state of Utah.
Okay, and so I'm not asking for us to look at water right issues.
Let's vote on
that. And I know that Ryan, as the engineer, has looked at connections, the amount of water, those kinds of things, but I'm saying, are there land use impacts to the town if we do that, or are there not? Or are there
advantages to the town if we do that. So I'm trying to focus Planning Commission on the planning items, and let's let them take care of those. If you come to the meeting, it will all be presented, and then you can make your comments on those. We can all make those comments on those pieces of the, but.
I would suggest maybe that you assign a couple of us to discuss those potential issues.
Well.
I don't know what.
Yeah, and so I would like to get some volunteers to look at that and bring that to the next meeting.
I'd be happy to be one of them, but I think it's too big for one person to sit and do.
I'd love to hear at the next meeting, Eric and Ryan, come and give us some basic information about our whole water system. You know, with an idea of how much excess we have and all those kind of things as a starting point, because I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, I think we can ask, we could probably ask Eric to be one of the people that we sit down with to become more acquainted with what the system currently is and what the future requirements are going to be, you know, based on our current zoning. But
yeah, we got to get out the data first. I wouldn't know how to go about that, so if we can team up and figure that part out, I think that's most likely hands in preparation for this meeting with Charleston.
Somebody volunteer to help me, please.
I'll help you. We're going to need, I think, some additional technical research.
Well, I think we can talk with engineering, and Eric's been familiar with that system for a long time, I think.
Yeah, we have a lot of that data already. We've had to do a capital facility plan that takes that exact data. Right. We need to do another one now because time flies.
Well, and I'm not suggesting, I'm suggesting that we do the work that's been done there, because that's really out of our area of expertise. But as you're looking at the town, and like I said, are we going to now facilitate a big subdivision on the other side of the road? We're worried about traffic and other things. You could easily put 400 or 500 cars a day on one of our small town roads, because we've now allowed them to develop, and maybe there needs to be some agreements. You know, we'll supply you water, but you have to have a density that's, you know, compatible with what we're doing in the town. I don't know. I'm just saying it would be worth looking at.
I'm trying to sum it up. It's a very complicated issue, a lot of pros, a lot of cons. I don't see any decisions being made in March or even April. But I guess I'd encourage, you know, we don't want to do the whole presentation tonight, and all the what-ifs could go for hours. But I'd suggest listen in March, ask lots of questions in the second half of March, and ask more questions and then form an opinion. But it's a complicated issue, and it's going to take time for folks that haven't been involved to understand, and even folks like myself that have been involved, and it's a moving target. And so it's gonna take time, ask lots of questions, and I would be surprised if it's a unanimous decision.
Well, I just think that we need to understand a little more of what we've got to offer or that we're working with before we even show up in March. Because none of us know anything about it. I've been here, this is my first meeting, so.
Same here.
Why don't you and I meet with, get up to speed, so to speak. And then we can present that at our meeting and figure out what we've learned. Or is that something that we can send through our email or something? I don't know how that has to work. I hate to have to call a meeting for every discussion.
I'm just urging you to be careful when you discuss things.
Yeah.
And it's fine for two people to get together and discuss things. We can't make any decisions.
Right.
And it can't be all of us. How many can it be, Mary?
I'm sorry?
How many of us? There was three.
How many of us can legally get together?
The quorum is four.
Okay, so less than that.
So three of you can get together and talk about that and discuss it without having a meeting.
Have any of you ever seen our water system?
No.
Have you ever been there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I use it every day, but that's all I've seen.
It's a good place to start.
You need to learn about our town. And we rebuilt that whole thing in 2000, starting in 2009 through 2011, I think.
We're still rebuilding it?
Well, we're rebuilding Stormhaven, but yeah, we rebuilt Daniel Municipal. And we were pretty proud of it at the time, but you can see it.
Okay. I see what comes out of that.
Philosophically, I am a strong believer in this planning commission being proactive and aggressive as it relates to planning. And when you're talking about things as important as water, because no planning can exist without water, or transportation, no planning can exist without transportation. And what happens beyond our boundaries is going to ultimately affect us as it relates to how other people's master plan and how all of that. I think it's so important that this planning commission take an active role in those kinds of things, because ultimately how we manage water, how we manage transportation, how we manage risk, all of those things end up coming back to the council. And I personally would love to have more ears and eyes and voices hearing and seeing the pluses and minuses and understanding the issues, and I couldn't agree more. I think it's important that you go up and look at the water system, understand it, understand its capacities, understand how many people are on wells, what does that all mean, and what might the future of the community be 50 years from now? Because all of those kinds of things basically stem from good master planning. And if we don't set the table properly, then we're just reacting. And I think we're at an important crossroads in our town right now, especially as we continue to see this exponential growth, that we've really, really got to do our homework. And that's why I, as a member of the town council, really respect and honor the role of our planning commission, because you truly can be our eyes and ears and study more than we'll probably ever be able to study issues and receive input. And so I'm excited to hear this. I'm sorry for getting on my soapbox, but I'm really excited, because I think these will determine how this community is 10 years, 50 years from now, because those important crossroads are right now.
Okay, I will send out those projects so that you can think more about them. I think the water one is more urgent. Could I have my list back just in case my Google Docs did not work as I planned for them to be? And I will email those out. We also have got too many papers here today. Oh, yes, I know what I wanted to say. As you're thinking about what we need to do this year, questions I'd ask, and some of those came up in the questions for the new council. That is, think about, why did I move to Daniel? I think some of them, Luke, it's his parents' fault, but most of us made an actual choice.
Or my great-great-grandparents'
fault. Yeah, it all went there. But why did you move to Daniel? What do you want the town to look like 50 years from now? I mean, I won't be here, I don't think, but what do you want the residents to be, have in the future, and how do we do that? I mean, I got a friend that lives on 1200 South, has 5 acres over there. He comes over to my house and he just stands out there and he goes, it's so quiet, it's so nice over here, I hate where I live. And he's lived in the valley, that same place his entire life. And
It used to be quiet.
Yeah, Heber's just built around it. Is that what we want to do? If so, let's plan for it and make it as good as possible. I'll publicly say that's not what I want to do or want to see happen. Seen other towns, my brother lived in Mapleton. Trains cutting horses use buffalo calves for training. They build a middle school across the street from him. It's like, I can't use buffalo calves anymore. They build a church on the other side of him. It's like, it's getting hard to cut hay. He had 6 acres. Then they build a subdivision around the rest of him. He now lives in Colorado, and there's a subdivision where his house was. And I'd hate to see that happen where you no longer have livestock, no longer have the space to live the way that we'd like to. But I'm just saying that's the town's decision. Try and listen to the people in the town and see what it is they want. You know, that's our job, is to listen and, you know, do what we can. Town, I'm not hearing anyone say, let's let Heber in and subdivide him. Maybe I'm not listening to the right people, but haven't heard that. If any of you do, please bring it up and let's do the right thing for the town. Let's move on to item 12, which is an update from the planning director.
I'm trying to be fast, but I'm not very good at it. I'm bringing my water. I'll probably get dry. So we got a few things to go over tonight. I'll pass out the planning report so that you guys all have that. You can see what's going on here in the town, what you guys have approved. you've turned some over to staff, so some of the permits that are issued are done by staff. You've made that decision as a planning commission of those items that we approve. We did have a couple of those that have gone through. Before we get off the water, I need to hand out this handout. Right now, the Division of Emergency Management is doing, they've been appropriated some money. They're doing their own flood study. These are some of the things that they're looking at. This is we were at the third meeting now, so I'm glad to hear that people want to get involved. This committee will be meeting. They've gone as far as Duchesne and all the way up to Summit County, I believe, on this section. But this comes from the emergency management, and they've appropriated money the legislature has for them to look at floodplains in particular. That's what this is going to narrow in on. This flyer, it will be on floodplain. So you have that information before you. Also, as long as we're on water, here's another, as we look towards ordinances, the legislature speaking about this. These are grants that are available for changing your landscaping to be, to be water wide. And so there's grants that's available. If we don't adopt an ordinance, we won't be eligible for those grants. So that's information regarding those grants that are available. They'll continue them through 2021, but then it will, 2022, and then it will expire. We won't be in, no residents will be eligible for that grant money unless we pass the ordinance, and that's what that sheet is talking about.
Is there any town-owned land that would apply?
Town-owned?
Yeah.
So it's everybody that's in the town could go and get this grant, so you can change your lawn out to low.
Does the town own any land specifically this would apply to or not?
Yes, but we don't irrigate that ground, so okay. Maybe not.
I challenge anyone to find this strip between the sidewalk and the road.
Yeah.
And the curb anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this has to do with your lawn too, going toward lower impact landscaping. So it's a reduction in the sod requirement.
While we're on the water thing, we had, they scheduled a hearing for town of Charleston for annexation along the highway in the area that was discussed tonight. They've canceled that, so the hearing is, the annexation is off, and they canceled that hearing. I suppose it was probably a direct result of the water discussion that we're having. Okay, do you have any questions for me on the planning report? Do we have a chance to look at that? Is there anything that need clarification on? I'm glad Rob had made that delineation that to be active and engaged as a planning commission.
This question is the BH on Freeman's. What does that stand for?
Freeman Residential Building Permit Remodel Issued.
Is that the contractor?
BH, no.
BH?
Oh, Big Hollow Road.
Oh.
Pam had asked for addresses, and I didn't have the address, so I just put Big Hollow on that.
Okay.
Code BH.
Was
we don't have the glossary for that. Sorry.
Yeah. Explanation of the acronyms.
You didn't get the acronym page? Dang it.
Put bullet holes. Was the Simpson permit issued?
So the Simpson permit has been issued for an agricultural building. They have changed now. They want to make it a regular building, an accessory structure. So that permit's being resubmitted. So that will be coming before the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Probably next month, whenever we get that paperwork done. He's here tonight, so.
Yeah.
There's some new trusses out there.
Yeah, it's getting engineered right now.
Okay.
I'm looking down the list to the Gable. Is this new or is this an old line item?
So the Gabo is scheduled for a public hearing on March 7th. So the court determined they sent that back to the town to hold another hearing and to start over, basically, at the council level. It won't come back to the Planning Commission. We'll start at the council and move forward from there. So March 7th is a good date for you to be to the council meeting because of that public hearing for a commercial zone change application. Good question. Way to see that, Mark. Good job.
Okay. Well, can I ask what the outcome when the Planning Commission voted on it last time was?
They denied it. They made a recommendation. The council denied it.
Right. What was the Planning Commission's recommendation?
I think, if I remember right, I think it was for denial.
It was a tie vote, wasn't it?
I think it was a tie vote.
It might have been.
So no recommendation.
No recommendation.
No recommendation from the Planning Commission.
Yeah. So as I was saying, I'm glad Robin pointed out that to be aggressive and forward thinking, everything that we do as a planning commission, you're looking out there 20 years, out there 30 years. That's the kind of things that you want to look at. The stuff that's already here is banging on your door, but we're looking out there further down the road. And a lot of the decisions you'll make are based on that down the road. And it's hard to see that, so it's a big job for you to, I mean, nobody has that crystal ball to know what's going to happen in 30 years, but it's coming, whether we want to or not. So to get in front of that, for years I've heard him say, you know, we don't want development. Well, you cannot stop development. You can control it, but you cannot stop it. And good development is a good thing. So you have to, that's your job, is to find out what's good and push those developments. Now that being said, I'm going to quickly go through a list here of bills that are at the legislature. This is a busy time of year for me because I follow this and track these amendments. And I'm not even sure how many there are this year, but they're a grundle. And a lot of them have to do with water and things that would directly apply. So I'm just going to read these. House Bill 282. Waterwise landscape amendments. House Bill 285, open and public meeting act violations. So they're gonna put some violation into law. House Bill 287, volunteer government worker amendments. If you have people volunteer to work in the government, there's going to be some regulations with that. House Bill 288, new growth amendments. Now, if you guys don't want to write these down, I can direct you to the website, Utah League Cities and Towns, and they have a bill tracker there, and you just go down and highlight the ones you want, and they'll shoot you an email if anything changes on that, and it keeps you in line with that. So, just as a side note. House Bill 303, downzoning notice amendments. So as we go through these zone changes, if it's deemed a down zone, there's going to be an amendment to there. This will be state code that we'll have to follow. House Bill 323, transient room tax and amendments. I know we've looked at, the county collects that transient room tax in this county. And we have some of those that are within our town. But that's going to, there's some amendments to how those will be divvied back out. So the county's the one that does that in this county. House Bill 343, water supply amendments. House Bill 345, public safety employee personal data amendments. And you think, what does that have to do with us? Those amendments, when you read that bill, is exactly what we've been talking about tonight. If you have a town computer, and right now, if the attorney general decides that he wants to see your personal computer, he has that right. This amendment that's being put in here will put a block between there. So that's so they won't be able to come search your personal. Right now, with the electronic as it moves, right now it's legal that they can come get your personal computer to search those. So that's what those amendments are for. House Bill 362, taxing entity amendments. House Bill 372, short-term property rental amendments. House Bill 376, municipal office amendments. Now we'll go into some Senate bills. Senate Bill 11, local election amendments. Senate Bill 18, election modifications. Senate Bill 19, election revision. And Senate Bill 20, property tax amendments. All those things will affect the municipality as we move forward. Senate Bill 31, water right proofs on small amounts of water. So they're actually going to build a law that will deal with the small amount of water versus the big adjudication that we've just, that has been going on. There's also Senate Bill 55, which will be dealing with citation fine amendments. So that might affect our code and what fines and penalties are attached to violation of those, because we have to do that through state code. State says if it's a Class B misdemeanor, this is the fine, this is what it is. That's being looked at. And I know our legislature, they got lots of time on their hands. So Senate Bill 66, electric assisted bicycle use amendments. So we're going to start to regulate the electric bicycles. Senate Bill 69, animal shelter revisions. And the reason I put this on there, in the last legislative session, they came out with the legislature said all municipalities will participate in a county animal control services. At the last minute, with a bunch of emails that got sent in, they pulled that back to only first and second class cities don't have a choice. They participate in that. So they drew that line. This is talking about it again. So you see as that comes in that'll work through.
So what class are we considered?
I believe we're a town fifth.
We're fifth class.
So as soon as we hit 1,000 residents, we'll be a city. And then some rules will change with us as far as administration. Well, a bunch of things, but for sure with administration. Senate Bill 73, flow rate quantity for plumbing fixtures. So that will come into the International Residential Code, or the IRC. And so that'll be something that me and Ryan will be looking at if the state goes ahead. And I was surprised to see him do that, because they usually let, we used to have the state had its own construction, and then they adopted the international, and now to see the state come back in and put a state restriction on the international code is, that's kind of weird to me to see that come back in, because it was a long time to get to the international. So that was Senate Bill 81, Affordable Housing Tax Amendment. So that will be included with our general plan as we look at that general plan and update. Senate Bill 89, Water Amendments, and they just left that broad. You have to go in and read the thing. So Senate Bill 110, this will be, you will have water as part of your general plan. It looks to me like right now they're going to allow towns to opt out of that until a certain time frame. But right now, that will be an included element, like the low-income housing, that will be an element in your general plan. So when we look at the general plan, we'll have to include that item within our general plan. The state record committee amendments, this will affect a lot of what we do as a town. They're gonna make us have a retention schedule for our documents and submit that to the state of what our retention schedule is and where those documents are stored. So that's gonna put a lot of headache on for administration. I mean, that's gonna be huge. So you'll have the same thing going all the way through. House Bill 21, school and child care water testing requirements. So we have some child care facilities within our town that we've licensed as home occupation. And that will become into that with backflow preventers and how often those are checked and who checks those. And those have to, all those records are kept within our water system and turned in yearly or when we have a sanitary survey. They look at those. House Bill 33, in-stream water flow amendments. So that's going to be the flows, return flows. House Bill 37, state water policy amendments. House Bill 39, state construction code amendments. So as I read through the state construction code amendments, here again, we have the international code. The state has now come in, and in particular on this one, is they've said that if you have a basement that has a window that was legal at the time the house was built, usually when you update, you have to update the entire building. You don't have to do the windows now. So they're not going to make you change structurally what goes on that building if this passes. These are all if they pass. We still, when the governor signs them, they're law. But that will affect how we do our, a lot of our, and you as we do these building permits, how we look at those. And especially in the additions and remodels. Okay, House Bill 71, Utah Fair Housing Act. House Bill 85, eminent domain amendment. They're messing with that again. This town has had to use that where our water tank was, so we have been through that process. House Bill 95, landscaping requirements. The reason I mention that is because we don't really regulate in a RA5 zone what your landscape is, but in commercial we do. So that all those will have to be looked at as you're looking at these items as a planning commission and have to comply with the state law regarding the landscape requirements. And of course, House Bill 96, government record fee amendments. So they're looking at amendments of how much we can charge for giving records away at the request. House Bill 115, water distribution efficiency, I'm sorry. House Bill 118, wetland amendments, and 121, water conservation modifications. All of those things, we've talked about water tonight, all those things hit on our water. So it's a big water year there. There's a lot going on. House Bill 135, open and public meeting comment requirements. That will require any time that there is a public meeting that you have to allow the public to comment. So that will change how we
do that anyway.
We do. We're in compliance with that. There's a lot of meetings you go in where you don't. You're not allowed to talk. And so there's a couple of items where you don't have to do that. A work meeting is one. But they've delineated where that will be, and they're going to make a state law for that. Preferences of water right amendments, 168. This one will probably scare a few of you. House Bill 177, water well amendments. So now they're going to, they're looking at water well and regulating the water well amendment of what they can, I guess what the state will license you for. House Bill 218, citizen petition amendments. A lot of the teeth in petitions was taken out a few years ago, if you'll remember, and some of that is being put back in for petitions. Right now, petitions don't have a big window. We see a lot of petitions, but they don't have any legal standing. It's just more of a survey, and now they're putting some of that back into legal. House Bill 235, since we talked about traffic, speed limit designation amendments. It will regulate what we set the speed limits on depending on minor collector, major collector, all those kind of things. House Bill 242, secondary water metering amendments. So they've already made it law all new, and so many of the used ones have to be metered. And so this is looking at adjusting that. And then House Bill 264, municipal alternate voting methods and amendments. So if you're up late at night and you really need to, I think those are things that I'm sending a lot of emails out to our representatives. I mean, I'm sure they get sick of hearing from me, but I think they're more sick of not hearing from people. So I think that as a planning commission and as citizens, we should be involved in those things. To the state, we get our power from the state. We get to regulate what the state says we can regulate. If they decide they want to regulate something, they take that authority away from us. We've seen that with the accessory dwelling unit within a main structure. That wasn't ever done until 2 years ago. They amended that with the housing crisis and said that will be allowed. That was a conditional use in this town prior to that amendment from the legislature. Once that's signed into law, now that's allowed. And you've seen that on the Bassett home. There was one of those in their drawings. And it's a red flag. It has been a red flag for years. Wait a minute, it's legal now. So you have to allow those based on housing requirements that's going on in the state. Okay, that's enough. I talked enough. Any questions? Perfect.
Can I bring up one more? House Bill 128, Mike Holder, our representative, is trying to reinstate impact fees for schools.
Do you?
Oh. Yes, we want that. We want that because the majority, 66% to 70% of our property taxes now go to schools.
That much?
Mm-hmm. Now we're up a lot.
It's the bad part of that is you know where they get their money.
What's up?
You know where the school gets their money.
So anyway, so make friends with Mike Kohler.
He's really responsive.
Give him your input.
He's super responsive. I mean, he's super to get back. I know he's busy and there's a lot going on up there too. But if there's a concern or if you have an opinion, send it off to him. So they'll respond.
Okay. Thank you. Move to item 13. Anyone would like to make a motion?
My favorite one. I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. I think you can just take a vote. All in favor? Any opposed?